Hey, kids, we're a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast.
I've got Buddha, I've got science, and now Jesus makes three. It's gotta happen sometime, maybe this time, I'll pray.
That's right, we're the podcast that explores the American animated sitcom The Simpsons from seasons 11 and beyond, and the newest ones when they're available. I say we because I'm one annoyed grunt boy named Steve, and with me, as always, is the other annoyed grunt boy, Craig!
Craig, quiet.
Oh yeah, we're doing that bit where we're supposed to be in church still.
Yeah, sorry. We're still knee-deep in a pew.
We've been here like a whole week.
Yeah.
In this podcast studio, waiting to record, till now we can.
Talk about preachy, this guy won't shut up. God this, God that, we get it. But we've learned so much about the Lord and how to lead a good life that I totally remember. Like, faith and do unto others and stuff.
Woozle wuzzle?
Makes me laugh.
Let's see, what have we learned last week? You don't need a church or a book to make you believe in Jesus, right? He's all around us, God. God is he or she or they.
Or it.
It's all God.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I drink all the Jesus blood, Steve, so I'm all out.
Yeah, we'll probably have to start munching on his body next. I'll get the premium crackers.
All right, well, I've never tasted the body of Christ. It's like just like a plain saltine, right?
It's not even a saltine.
A wafer, right?
Yeah, it's a thin wafer that kind of melts in your tongue and tastes like nothing.
Is it like a Necco wafer?
Kind of, yeah.
Is there sugar involved? Because, Steve, I'm on keto and I cannot eat Jesus' body because he's got sugar in it.
Right. No, I think he's sugar. No sugar, but I do think he's gluten full, so I think that celiacs can't be Christian.
I know we've talked about religion before, and like I've probably said on the podcast, I was never baptized or I've never been to like a church. Maybe I was at a church service when I was like a little kid,
mm-hmm.
You know, like 2 or 3. I don't know. Were you ever like taken to a church? Did you ever have to eat from the body of Christ or any of that?
Maybe once. I was also not baptized because my mom was raised Mormon and my dad was raised Catholic. And by the time they got to me, because I'm the youngest of 5, they were tired and didn't care. So I've just always been nothing, which is fine by me because the few times that I did go to church, I was like, this is weird. Like, the architecture is real pretty and I like the stained glass, but all this talking stuff is not for me.
One of my favorite bits to do in public is, since I've never been baptized, if there's like a Bible or like a religious figure, like a cross, I always like to pick it up and go, ah, it burns. That's weird.
That's classic. I like that
a lot. Yeah. That will not go in my joke jail, Steve.
Nor should it.
And I'm giving you permission to steal that joke. So when you're with like your wife and you're shopping, you see something that's like a cross, just pick it up and go, ow, that burns.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That'll be fun. Speaking of joke jail, I wonder if their future episode that we're about to watch has any of those offenses. Before we do that, we should go back in time all the way to 2020, specifically May 3rd, 2020. Craig, what was the number one movie in the box office?
Well, as we mentioned last week, we were in the middle of, or the beginning of the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. So theaters were closed. For some reason, maybe some theaters might have been open somewhere. So we find that this movie called The Wretched was number one. It's about a defiant teenage boy struggling with his parents' imminent divorce, faces off with a 1,000-year-old witch, and posing as a woman next door. The Wretched, Steve. Let's take a look at the Rotten Tomatoes scores here. We got 74 on the tomato meter from 112 reviews, and then 46 on the audience score with the 500-plus there. Yeah, just another horror mystery film. Anyone famous that I know in this movie? We got, I'm not familiar with any of these people. I'm sure they're great. It made a $1.8 million in the U.S. gross for box office altogether. $1.8 million.
And then $4.3 million worldwide.
Poor movies that had to endure the pandemic. But at least theaters are back now, even though we went through the strike.
Mm-hmm.
It was like another pandemic for Hollywood for at least 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Steve, we were still quarantined, not going to the theaters, so we're still listening to the music. Steve, is it going to be the same song as last week?
Well,
and it was a weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, the pandemic was kind of like a really long weekend, which makes sense because the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 was Blinding Light, once again, by The Weeknd.
And you know what? You listened to it last week. I'm not going to play it again. So if this is the first time you're listening to our podcast, go back and listen to last week's episode. Then you can hear the 10-second clip that's in this podcast. So there you go. Now we don't have to review it because we already did.
And hey, if you really want to hear it, listen to any Weeknd song and it sounds pretty much exactly the same. So
can we just put a same blast for future podcasts where Santana's and Rod Thomas's Smooth has to be played? Because I feel like that's been played many times on this show.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So we never have to play that song again.
Perfect. Right. We should just play Loverboy's Working for the Weeknd because that's a better song.
Yeah.
Craig, then let's check out this week's episode, War and Priests, Part 2, in which, in Michigan, Reverend Lovejoy uncovers the reason why Bodhi left and came to Springfield. And when the congregation learns of his crime, they must decide whether to banish him or cherish him.
Cherish.
Banish. All right, let's check it out, and we'll be right back. And we're back. Today we're talking about War and Priests, Part 2, the 20th episode of the 31st season. It originally aired on May 3rd, 2020. It is episode 682 in the show's run. Your nerd code is ZABF13. It was written by Pete Holmes, directed by Matthew Nastuck, and your showrunner is Al Jean.
All right. Pete Holmes, who wrote this episode, if you didn't hear what we talked about, or mostly Steve talked about last week, I'm not going to go into Pete Holmes stuff. You got to listen to last week's episode.
And it's weird for you to like jump into the second episode of a two-parter, you weirdo.
It's like, I'm going to start Star Trek The Next Generation at season 4, episode 1. And you're like, oh, this bald guy's a Borg thing? I don't even know what that is. And you realize, like, oh, that was the captain? Spoilers for people who haven't seen Star Trek Next Generation.
Damn it.
Sorry, Picard becomes a Borg at the end of season 3.
But it looks so cool with his, like, white face and little eye thing. That was the coolest thing ever.
I guess it should have been, like, more on brand with this podcast. I've been, like, starting The Simpsons with season 6, episode 1.
Right.
Who's this Mr. Burns and why was he shot? Which they reference in the opening credits of this episode. So let's just get into it, Steve.
Alrighty. Well, we'll start with a title gag in which Professor Frink flies across the screen with a little flying contraption, holding a sign that says, "Hope you watch part one."
And like we said, we hope you listen to part one. There's the billboard gag, which says, "Tonight on the Knowledge Channel, Dr. Pimple Popper presents an all-blackhead marathon." And I know that's a joke, but really when I'm like scrolling through the cable television channels and, they're referencing TLC, not the Knowledge Channel.
Right.
It'll be like a marathon of like Dr. Pimple Popper on, which I've never gone over and watched because it's gross. Why is that a TV show?
I don't know. My sister-in-law really likes it, and also just any sort of like videos of things being removed from people's bodies, and it's just like, it's gross. I don't want to watch it. No, stop. Don't be the thing.
All right, Steve, would you rather watch Dr. Pimple Popper or the last season of Game of Thrones?
Oh boy, that's awful. Ugh, gross, disgusting. Probably Dr. Pimple Popper. There's no Starbucks cups in that one.
There probably is. They probably pop the pimples into a Starbucks cup.
Ew.
And fill it up.
Gross.
I said extra foam, not extra. Oh, wait, are you saying gross to Starbucks now?
Yeah.
What if it's like a Pete's coffee cup? You're fine with that.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Chalkboard gag, Steve? Do we got that?
Yeah, it's Bart's back on the chalk saying, "I will stop reminding the principal. I have a later bedtime than he does."
I like that. Bart's back on the chalk.
Yeah.
It's like an addiction.
Gotta have that white stuff, man.
Kids don't know what chalk is now.
Yes.
I mean, like actual chalk, because right, it's all dry erase. Even when we were like in high school, it was dry erase.
They probably don't even use that anymore. It's probably all like Chromebooks and VR assistants and, yeah, Zoom.
AI, TikTok, and ass eating.
Spotify me.
Hit me up on Venmo.
DM my Xbox.
you know, we don't bring it up that much when they're doing the intro and Lisa's sax playing, but she's not playing the sax this time. She's playing a harp.
I guess it makes sense for this episode because harps are, like, you know, a little heavenly. And so it would make sense for her to play that.
But then there's a couch gag, Steve, and I might not be familiar for what the TV show is. I might be the only person in this country that hasn't watched the show that is parodying. What is that?
That would be the show Succession, which is, I can't believe you haven't seen Succession. You gotta see Succession.
I'll watch The Wire, and then I'll watch Succession.
Okay, yeah, you do that. It's like Arrested Development meets Righteous Gemstones, but not at all.
Which is funny, because there's a little Righteous Gemstones-y stuff in this episode. Like, I feel like it's, they're not parodying that, but like...
No, but I know
that's a show I do watch, yeah. And I love Righteous Gemstones.
But no, we get a parody of the intro hit to HBO's, the other HBO series, Succession. And there's like grainy footage of the Simpsons children playing in their Sunday best. And then as the driving piano theme plays, we see Homer step out of the pool. And then Bart taking off his swim trunks and making Homer eat them, or just put them over his head. And then we see Lisa with her pony. Lisa's then ushered into a family meal, and the horse is led to a meal with other horses, which I think is very funny. Then there's footage of the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant and Ken Brockman reporting that a show is parodying another show. Then there's a clip of Mr. Burns attempting to steal candy from Maggie, which you referenced, getting shot in the process from Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2. And then finally, we have Homer telling the family that none of them will inherit anything because there just isn't any, just as Repo Man Raphael takes the suit off of his back.
Is the intro Succession, do they have footage of the cast coming out of pools, and is there also like a horse in it?
Yes, it's like a lot of footage of the characters, but as children, like living an opulent lifestyle where they're like, there's like a child smoking a cigar and just like they're at, like, at their mansions and they're doing all kinds of rich person stuff. So yeah,
it's funny. That is this like the first Simpsons use of parodying Succession? Because there was a whole episode that we reviewed a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
A whole Succession parody. That's everyone loves that show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I'll watch it. There's only, what, like four seasons, four or five, so it's an easy watch probably.
Yeah, it's probably, yeah, just four seasons and like probably 10 episodes a season.
Yeah. So if I did the math, that would be, hold on, 143 episodes.
Exactly.
All right. Well, so we do hope you listened to our last episode where we talked about War and Priest Part 1, but if you didn't, here's a little recap from Channel 6's own Kent Brockman.
Previously on The Simpsons, a charismatic new preacher came to Springfield.
You want to hold my gun? You can.
And Lisa admired him like no adult man she'd ever met.
This brunch has turned into a jazz brunch.
Reverend Lovejoy lost his job and swore revenge. This is Warren Priests, Part 2.
What a fun way to start the episode, I guess. Well, I mean, we already watched it, so it's kind of like, yeah, we know. Here's 2 minutes that we don't need. You know who had like a weird, when they did two-part episodes, always had like kind of like a weird, like interesting way of recapping the episodes was, we referenced Cheers last week, but I'll reference it again. And every time they did like two-parters, they'd always have some sort of like interesting way to like recap the episode. But sometimes it felt weird because there was never a laugh track. Like, there's one episode where it shows, like, the houses of the characters, but you don't see them. You just see the houses. Like, Norm comes in, he talks, you know, he's talking about his day at Cheers, you know, but, like, what happened. And then you see Carla talking to, like, her kids at her house. And then, like, Sam is in his apartment watching TV. Like, but it's also because there's no laugh track. You're so used to the laugh track.
Yeah, yeah.
Another time is, like, you know, like, someone comes into the bar and, like, Coach is like, oh, you don't... won't believe what just happened last week. But I don't know if there's like sitcoms these days. Like, again, I don't watch modern sitcoms.
No. And like,
so I don't know if there's like a recap.
And also, like, our two part, like, it just feels like so old fashioned, like that old, like, last week on, because everything's so streaming and like instant.
Yeah. I mean, those were big things for Nelson ratings, right? Or is it? Or Nielsen, sorry.
Yeah.
Not Nelson ratings. Nelson ratings is how we rate The Simpsons. We've done 257 episodes. Why have we called how we rank the episodes the Nelson rating?
Jeez, I know. Louise. Damn.
We're so dumb.
dumbest.
Go back in time. Say, okay, just call the podcast The Annoyed Grump Boys, and the rating will be called The Nelson Ratings.
Yeah.
All we would have done is like, a ha, 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 mm-hmm. like three.
Right.
This ultimate. And then this episode is a ha. Mm-hmm. But it made our lives a lot easier. Mm. All right. Well, fans out there, if you're building a time machine, go back in time and let us know what to do differently. But just that, nothing else.
Yeah, because that's the most important thing you can do with the time machine.
Yes.
So before the episode begins proper, we get this drawing of two people of the cloth. They're just like silhouettes. They don't actually have faces. And one hands the other the Bible. And the second looks at the inside and finds a bomb, which then explodes. And then the second priest takes off their cross and stabs the first in the heart. And then the first person uses the beads from their cross to choke out the other person. And then they both fall to their death. And then their angels leave their bodies. And the second priest throws their halo like a throwing star, decapitating the first. Very spy versus spy. You know, a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what I got from that. Mad Magazine Spy versus Spy.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite as a little kid, Mad Magazine, because there was no words. So I could just
look at
it, not have to read. I think it was the first thing I did when I got a Mad Magazine was like, find the spy versus spy and then do the fold-in.
Yeah, because like the parody comic would have so many words that are just like, oh, I know that's probably funny, but it's just such a slog to read.
Much like the Bible.
Exactly.
That would be fun if there was like these characters in modern Bibles. Just...
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's like a Christian person, you know, murdering religions that aren't Christianity. You know, that'd be so fun for the kids.
Sure. Jesus, like, stabbing Buddha. What, me worry?
Not a religious podcast.
That's right.
Well, it's Sunday, Steve, at the First Church of Springfield, and it's packed. The sign instructs believers that the lot is full and that they should use the three bullies valet. Jimbo then takes Sideshow Mel's red convertible for a joyride, doing donuts and smashing into other cars in the parking lot. Kind of reminds me of the valets in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? Wearing their little red vests.
Yeah.
Ferrari out for a joyride. Yeah. Well, inside, people eagerly await the sermon, and Fat Tony comments that this is the first time that he's gone to church when it's not a big montage of his enemies getting whacked. And then I thought, like, the weird scene with, after he says that, is that Louie or who's the...
Yeah.
Who's the mob? It just weirdly goes like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like,
it was a weird response. Yeah, I don't know why he reacted like that.
Yeah. Was there ever, like, a mob movie? Or is this something I made up as a kid? Like, I think it should be in a mob movie where the mob is in a church and there's, like, a wedding and, like, someone comes in and just, like, shoots up the church. Much like that scene in, what's that Kingsman movie where he goes into the church and kills all those crazy people? Sorry, Christians. But like, I always thought that'd be like a fun scene in a mob movie where they just like kill a bunch of bad guys in a church, or like, you know, it's the wedding of an enemy.
Yeah.
And you just, that song, going to the chapel and we're going to get married, you know, going to the chapel and we're going to get married. Like, and then just like violence ensues. Is that from a movie, or am I just making that up?
I don't think so. I think it's an idea you had when we were in high school.
Okay.
Because I remember you talking about this back then. Yeah. It sounds like a great idea.
But like, that's as bad. Like, remember when you were in high school, kid, about going to a chapel and just murdering everybody? Like, that wasn't me. It was a character
named, right,
Craigino. The mob
happened to wear the same trench coat that I did.
Oh, boy. It's called an overcoat, and it's not a trench coat. That's what I had to explain to the security.
Of course.
And they're called phasers, not guns.
Yeah.
And that's a lightsaber. I'm a nerd.
Not a threat. I'm just a dork.
Yeah. Anyway, so in the church, seeing that her mother's all dressed up, Lisa comments that Marge looks awfully fancy for church, implying that she's attracted to their handsome new pastor. Marge scoffs at her daughter, saying, "Moms aren't attracted to pastors." She then drops her shoulder straps, revealing some skin.
Ooh.
Little tan lines there, too.
Yeah.
So next to her, Homer notices how crowded the church is and that his leg is touching Milhouse's dad's leg.
Well, Homer may not want to be knee neighbors, but Smithers joins a pew with Julio, who is wearing a shirt showing two unicorns drawing Noah's Ark as a giant rainbow beams above the ship. When Lisa sees that Mr. Burns isn't around, Waylon remarks that Monty prefers to read his copy of the scripture at home. We then see Monty in a room full of collectibles such as the Ark of the Covenant, the Not-So-Holy Grail, the Wright Flyer, a mammoth skeleton, terracotta army statues, an Egyptian sarcophagus, and a part of Blarney Castle. He presses a button, and a chamber rises from the ground containing ancient texts. Using his magnifying glass, Monty reads, "Blessed be the poor," and he's shocked that he's just now learning this. He takes key of biblical writing and shoves it into a paper shredder, saying, "Exodus."
Do you think when Burns opens the Ark of the Covenant, the spirits close their eyes so they don't turn to dust?
Yeah. He takes a sip of the Holy Grail. His face kind of unmelts weirdly. He's still old, but he looks a little better.
Mola Ram tries to rip his heart out of his chest, but can't find it.
Yeah, he just reaches in there, and then like his hand's on the other side. Like, what?
And Mr. Burns' skull oddly is shaped like a crystal skull.
It is, yeah.
The Dial of Destiny reference. Okay.
Sure. let's to go to young Pastor Buddy Wright as he begins his sermon.
Good morning.
Good morning!
For those of you interested in the Packers game...
We don't want to know!
So, I know some of you still have some questions about me.
I certainly do. Will you be godfather to my son?
We're not there yet, Mel. But seriously, fewer and fewer people are coming to church. Numbers are declining, and I get it. When you tell people that you believe in God, usually they take that to mean that you're quietly judging their lifestyle, or think everybody but you is going to hell.
Way to preach, bitch.
I'm gonna pretend I heard amen.
Oh, relax, bitch.
The original function of religion was to bring us together. Religion. Ligio, like ligament. It means to reconnect.
They don't teach you that at medical school.
Yes, they do.
And I learn from my mistakes. Malpractice makes malperfect.
Well, I want to bring us all together. Not just Christians, but Hindus and Buddhists, even those that don't believe.
Does anyone besides me miss church the way it was?
You know, the idea of what he's trying to say, Bodhi, right? About, like, I want to bring people together from all faiths. But that's what I kind of don't like about those people, too. They're like, I don't care that you don't believe in, you know, what I believe in, but let's just all come together. I'm like, let me just live my own fucking life and get out of it, okay?
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, the heart is there.
Right, yeah. And I agree with the sentiment, but also, like you say, leave me alone.
It's like, I'm just trying to do my grocery shopping.
Yeah, somebody handed me a religious text the other day when I was walking down the street. It's like, I have to throw this away now? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you look at it and it says, please help me. I'm being kidnapped. Like, come on. What is this?
Okay, Noah.
Please call the police.
Any religion that includes Sting is not a religion of mine, so I will not call the police.
We have tantric sex.
I can't stay up that late.
Ned's not having this, though, right?
Mm-mm.
All right, well, crickets chirp in response to Ned's question. He assumes that the insects are on his side, though they shout, we said no, as it's shown in the closed caption, Steve. Ned goes on to say that the church has gone from a place of warm, awkward silence into a gooey love fest run by a narcissistic kumbaya-yo-yo. And he will not stand for it. Bodhi tells Flanders that they believe in the same God, but he believes that the God loves everyone. Offended, Ned says that they are not on a first-name basis, so Bodhi can refer to him as a new evangelical deacon, or, you know, Ned for short. So are we more like Ned then? But Ned's not accepting either. Religion's silly, Steve. We shouldn't be talking about it.
Believe me, if it wasn't for this episode, we wouldn't be, because it is silly. Like, like Bodhi was saying earlier, I'm sure there was a point when it was needed because, you know, you didn't know what to do, so you had a community around you, and then, like he says about the ligament, like, it's to bring people together, but now we don't need to because we have our phones, and they're the one true religion, because we can just, like, look up recipes and watch cat videos.
Yeah, well, right, that was the point. It was, you know, as man evolved, you know, we evolved in these tribes, and these tribes had a communal meeting place with religion and bringing people together that way. But the problem is then when tribes met other tribes, realizing, oh, their bullshit is different than our bullshit, so we got to kill these motherfuckers.
Right.
Yeah, it's good in theory, but yeah, now that the world was small then, and it's bigger now, and now it's small again, because we know everything. Not as we know everything, but we know the world more than we've ever have in history. So it comes down to these three big religions in the world that really kind of control everything. And we still hate over it, and we're still having wars and conflict. It's never going to end.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer when you think about it, but...
Yeah, I don't know. But and there's jerks like us who just don't care.
Yeah, exactly. And we just kind of watch the world burn like we were the Joker.
Which Jokers would we be? I think we'd be more like the Cesar Romero Joker.
Yeah, maybe a Jared Leto.
Oh, geez, that's gross. I feel like the Jared Leto Joker is the ones that are like all into Elon Musk.
Yeah, that's true. I could be a Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
I was like, he was the Joker in the movie. I mean, Jack was pretty cool. And who can't forget Mark Hamill's as the voice of the Joker?
Yeah, probably my favorite Joker. Bodhi explains that God is the yes that set the universe in motion. As he offers gender inclusion into his explanation, Lisa listens excitedly. She then breaks into song, singing that maybe this time she'll believe it. She's then in her room, opening her closet, picking between her Sunday good, her Sunday better, and Sunday best. While she croons of praying, Homer and Bart play in the sprinklers outside, bare-ass and naked. Lisa makes toast, singing about having fun on a Sunday, just as her toast appears to have the image of Christ on it, which she then feeds to Santa's little helper.
Lisa continues, noting that Bodhi will sermonize with his hazel eyes. She says that she has Buddha, she has science, as depicted by Albert Einstein. Look, The Simpsons predicted it again. He was the star of Oppenheimer.
It's true.
It was his first role. No one knew about Einstein until that movie came out.
They knew about him from that one movie with Tim Robbins and Ryan?
IQ? Yeah,
yeah, that's the one.
Walter Matthau? Yeah, that was... I think I watched that a few years ago. Like, rewatched it. There's like, this is like a really funny line that he says, like in the trailer, like, I don't remember, but he's like, you're the man now, dog. Was that that movie?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Also there's Jesus. It makes three. So Lisa finishes her cabaret parody with Bob Fosse telling her, not bad kid, also not good. The iconic choreographer then offers a few tips. And the camera pans out to show Lisa blissfully sleeping in church, just like her father. Meanwhile, Bodhi and Ned continue to debate the best way to worship. Meanwhile, in this clip in Michigan, Timothy and Helen Lovejoy arrive at Blessed by Megachurch, home of the Burger King of Kings.
God is nothing but grace and flow and forgiveness. And if you don't think so, I don't know, maybe you should go back and read the Bible a little bit closer.
Are you questioning a man who travels with extra Bibles to put them in hotel rooms?
Do you mind?
I'm sure you're very sincere, but a parrot can recite the Bible and have no idea what it means.
What? 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 This isn't church anymore. We're out of here.
Daddy, we can't leave before the pastor says so.
Who told you that?
You did? You call it Homer Simpsoning.
Ugh. Yeah, don't Homer Simpson, you jerk.
This is where he got fired. Now we're gonna poke into Mr. Perfect Pastor's mysterious past.
Did you just say mysterious?
Can't you be on my side for once?
In that clip, when Flanders talks about going to hotels to put Bibles in, you don't see it, but he's emptying the mini bar of a room, but then it pans out, and I guess he just enters Mayor Quimby post-coitus while they're in bed, just putting in a Bible. What would you do if you're just, like, in bed and someone walks in and just puts a Bible in your hotel room?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird, like, because, like, yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, man, that's going to be so expensive, like, because he's dumping all those bottles. That's, like... feel like $150. But then as I was like, oh, Quimby's got the money. But yeah, I don't know what I do. Like, do you put your pants on and then tell them to get out? Or you just like stand up buck ass naked and be like, hey, there's my penis, leave. I don't know.
I want a shirt that says, hey, here's my penis, leave.
Pointing down.
I don't know. There's a lot of craziness that can happen into motels or hotels. So I don't know.
I've heard.
Yeah. But at least there's always a Bible, right? Although lately, some hotels I've gone to, I haven't seen the Bible.
Yeah. Not a religious podcast. I just think it's weird that, like, I've never been like, I need to look at a Bible. But I guess I'm not religious, so I don't know. It's just weird.
I mean, I know there's a reason for it, but I don't know the reason. So
yeah,
some
yeah.
things I've heard, it's like, oh, that's why they have Bibles in hotels.
I've heard that the paper is good for rolling joints.
I thought it was like to muff if like you're going to a hotel to kill yourself with a gun. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that would work.
To muffle the sound, I guess you put the pillow behind your head and then the Bible. I don't know.
Jesus. So the Love Boys step into the sprawling mega church, which offers a Java Jesus copy shop, a Spare Them Lord bowling alley, an Orange Judas, and a First Corinthians bank. Reverend Lovejoy asks a woman about finding a pastor, but she directs him to the touchscreen directory and its digital assistant, Holy Cow. That was fun. The Bilvine giggles and asks for Timothy's fingerprint so he can pick one of the following options.
Why are we here?
Okay to be gay.
Parking validation.
And other faiths ranked from wrong to wrongest.
Holy Cow notices that Timothy has yet to press anything, then asks why not, offering these answers.
Bad Samaritan.
Good Samaritan.
Rapture.
Donate with Bitcoin.
And monthly auto pay.
Yeah, this is much the Righteous Gemstones, like, what do they call it? Not cathedral. Mega churches, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, not a religious podcast, but tax the churches.
Yeah, come on.
They don't need this. Well, Timothy requests to speak to someone who is below God, but above the women. The woman says that Timothy may find what he needs inside, opening the door to a gigantic stadium packed to the brim. A large banner reads, Buzz Cola. In the beginning, there was refreshment. Below that, on the huge screens, a pastor asks how many in the crowd suffer from mesothelioma, as he tells them to dial Jesus at ocho, 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 ocho. A small blimp flies overhead, promoting the idea of humility. Next is the glory meter, which shows Jesus listening to see if the audience is eager. They beat inflatable crosses as a monkey dressed as a winged angel does a backflips. Helen begs the women for help, noting that Timothy is also in the clergy. And after a secret handshake, Timothy and Helen are led to meet Preacher Mac.
I'm here to discuss a matter of some unpleasantness.
You're not here from the Boston Globe, are you?
No. I'm a pastor, too. I hear there's a little dirt on the collar of a man who used to preach here, Bodie Wright.
Him? You better sit down. It's a short story, but I'm gonna milk it. I would go on, but I am down to my last vocal cord. Even for a pastor, I've taken way too long to make a simple point. Now, here's the proof.
Before the clip was played, I liked the handshake is that old thing you did as a kid. Here's the steeple, here's the church, and here's the people. As our little secret handshake.
I also like the reference to Spotlight and, you know, the real stuff that happened there about Boston Globe and his, like, bribe money.
Yeah. And does the other preacher look like he's wearing a wig?
Yes, he absolutely does. Yeah.
I got some good wig dar, Steve, so I just thought noticed that.
You never noticed mine.
Steve, you're bald.
So you think.
You wear a bald cap the whole time.
Yeah, I have flowing black locks.
Is this like so you could get away with crimes? Like a bald man robbed the bank and then be like, bald man, I have luscious long hair. How could I be?
Exactly. I figure anybody Genius. Can commit a crime and then get a haircut, but if I have hair, right. it's brilliant.
Because it's like, well, maybe you're just wearing up, maybe you're wearing a wig and they try to pull in your hair. I'm like, oh, that's not a wig.
Is it?
And you don't really wear glasses either.
No.
So they're fake glasses and a fake bald cap.
I also wear a fat suit.
And a prosthetic penis, just in case. Sure.
That's just more for self-confidence.
Okay.
So Reverend Mac opens his door, and next to piles of bills, there's casino chips, tickets to Tahiti, and a vial of cocaine. But there's also a thumb drive, which he grabs. As Timothy looks at the laptop, Reverend Lovejoy's shocked to find that there are so many singles in his area, which is kind of an old joke. Maybe belongs in joke jail?
Yeah, the whole, I just feel like you've seen that in so many things, like, oh, there's interested singles in my area. Yeah, I just feel like that should belong in joke jail.
I agree. Right. So Reverend Mac shoves the drive into his computer. It plays a video of Bodie Wright giving a sermon while holding a box of matches. In the video, Bodie states that money and possessions don't matter. He then lights something on fire. Helen is in disbelief, and Timothy is sure that he's caught his opponent once and for all.
Well, Steve, back at 742 Evergreen Terrace, Marge is shocked to see that Lisa, sitting at the kitchen table, reading a Bible. Even says Lisa Marie Simpson. I've never heard her say Lisa's full name like that. It's very off-putting for some reason. Because you say the full name of a child when you're mad at them.
Right.
Like, I'll say, if I'm really mad at Steve, I'll say his full name. I'm like, Stephen Earl Trump. How dare you?
Now, Craig, we all know that that's not my name.
Oh.
It's Stephen Donald Trump.
And my full name is Craig Andrew Pol Pot. The second.
Right.
All right. Well, Lisa likes her book fine, but has some notes, especially parts that are racist, sexist, and unfair to Hittites, and all of the incest. Grandpa comments that he's never met a Hittite who wasn't trying to expand his empire in Egypt, saying that the Hittites are worse than the Canaanites. And Marge then mocks Lisa for being attracted to Bodie, but she admits it.
Oh, now who's doing this because of the handsome new pastor?
Reverend Wright? You think he's... Oh, why pretend? When he speaks, I feel like he's speaking only to me.
Oh, Lisa, honey, I'm worried you'll get too attached. This town has a way of rejecting what's new and different and better.
Not this time.
But look at your vision board. It's full of nothing but crushing disappointment.
Even your vision board is a failure.
That hook was supposed to hold a lifetime's worth of disappointment.
I like Bart coming in and laughing at her. I'm sure hope that Bart has some more zingers in this episode.
I mean, this is, what do we call this show? It's the Bart Simpson Show with Homer.
And Maggie, too, featuring Flanders. Is that the Bart Simpson Show with the Simpsons featuring Homer and Maggie, too? And also Flanders? I forget. Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah. But anyway, we know that Bart's going to be a big part of this episode. Yeah. So
it's Bart and the Simpsons featuring Homer and Maggie, too. I know that's like the main
thing. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Lisa's vision board has pictures of her pony princess from Lisa's Pony.
Her with Mr. Bergstrom's from Lisa's Substitute.
More like Mr. Nerdstrom. Her visiting Jesse Grass from Lisa the Tree Hugger.
I think, can we review that one? Can't remember.
Lisa the Tree Hugger. That's a great question, Steve. And I will have the answer after you tell me who else is on the board there.
We have Lisa and Mr. Burns collecting junk from the old man and the Lisa.
We have her visiting Bleeding Gums Murphy at the hospital from around Springfield. Steve, to let you know, Lisa the Tree Hugger has yet to be reviewed. It's from season 12, episode 4.
Cool. Can't wait to get to it.
Yeah, you can wait.
Okay. Well, on the road, Reverend Lovejoy is driving frantically, telling a Saturn to get thee behind me. Timothy's crazed and disheveled look arouses Helen, but when he straightens his hair, she's less into it. She tells him that she needs to pee, but he's too preoccupied with defrocking Bodie. His determination once again turns Helen on, but when Timothy asks for it in the choo-choo room, maybe in the caboose, the mood is gone.
So, in this sequence, when his hair's all disheveled, and she gets kind of horny, and then she says she needs to pee, does that mean, like, has she never been, like, turned on, like, she feels, like, you know, wet down there? She thinks she has to pee, maybe? Is that what's going on?
I assume that she wanted to maybe rub one out.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm kind of going for here.
Yeah.
But then, like, maybe she's like, oh, or maybe she was like, I'll just pull over, and then she was going to, like, jump him.
Or maybe he has a piss fetish.
Much like your family lineage, Steve. Your last
name. That's right.
The choo-choo room is obviously the reference to his, you know, actual den where he has his model trains. But the choo-choo room does sound very naughty. Like, that's...
Yeah, right?
That's where angels fear to tread, Steve. Angels don't like anal.
Right. It's the loophole that God can't see.
Yeah. Although, I have rented Angels Like Anal videos 3 through 14. Pretty good movies.
The plot kind of loses it, but it is it is good. And when I say it's a tight 35 minutes, I mean it's a tight 35 minutes.
Kids won't understand how we had to rent pornography at the video store. When Steve and I were kids, Steve would sit on my shoulders. We'd wear a trench coat, and we'd go into the video store and awkwardly walk in the back room with, like, the little swinging doors. We'd grab the videos, but then we'd also, like, grab, like, Bambi or something like that, Snow White, something like, oh, this one's for the kids, this one's for us. Well, Steve would do the voice. And,
right.
And then we'd go back and watch the videos.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird day.
Because we were sick.
Watching Bambi and then a bunch of anal pornography.
Yeah, we rented Bambi and then we rented Bam B.
All right. The weird sequel to the B movie.
Bambi. Well, she was, I thought she was 18. God. All right, well, Homer takes Bodhi to Moe's, ordering two beers and nothing for Bodhi. That's a funny thing to do. Like, if we went to a bar, I'm going to, like, go to the bartender. Like, I'll get two gin and tonics. What do you want, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. Next time we hang out, I got to do that joke.
That's a good joke.
Yeah. That's not in joke jail. That's a joke freedom. Well, Mo is worried about the pastor seeing his nudie glasses, so he smashes him with a baseball bat. And Bodhi says, he didn't need to do that. Mo tries to put the glasses back together, asking, you know, how many boobs a woman has. Steve, how many?
See, according to that documentary Total Recall I just watched, 3.
A married woman has 3 boobs, Steve. You know, she's got 2 herself, and then the married guy next to her is a boob.
Hey.
Oh. All right.
Oh, boy. You rascal.
I brought it back in with some clean humor.
Yeah.
After this, let's talk about fisting.
All right.
Homer tells Bodhi all about his past sins in this clip.
I never got so much off my chest. So then I coveted my neighbor's riding mower. I never pedal when I'm on a bicycle built for 2.
Homer.
I went trick-or-treating when I was 30. Also, I told Marge I was going for a colonoscopy when I actually went to a Planet of the Apes marathon, including the Tim Burton one.
God doesn't care.
Hallelujah!
Please, I make my living in here.
Sorry, so am I forgiven?
You're a good man, Homer Simpson. Behind all your behavior, good and bad, there's a still, quiet place, untouched by the dramas of this life, where you simply are goodness.
Oh, you haven't heard the worst one. I had impure thoughts about the mother bear and the toilet paper ads.
Reverend, if that is your real honorific, you are late for our parishioner's visit. I've been preparing all day.
Sorry, I've got to go.
It's a weird fetish of Homer's.
Yeah, it's just weird, like, just any sort of family unit just talking about their shit. Like, it's just, like, gross.
And, like, bears, too, like, they're all fur down there, so they got some probably nasty-ass dingleberries, because they don't have a bidet.
Yeah.
No, this is my pitch to a bidet company, is have animated bears like, we used to use the paper stuff, but we got so much fur down there that sometimes it would get tangled. Now we got bidets where our derriere is clean as the streams that we eat our food from. I don't know. The salmon comes out.
God.
I don't know. But there's my pitch to Madison Avenue, free advertisement. Have cartoon bears mocking dingleberries. As we say on this podcast, we're pro bidet.
Yes, we are. It's a life changer. And if you don't have one, you should really try it because your life will never be the same. I'm trying to think of any other of his sins that I can relate to. Like, I've never, like, gone to a colonoscopy to get a, but to rather see a Planet of the Apes marathon. I don't ride on Bicycle Built for Two in general, but I think we probably did go trick-or-treating when we were 30.
I don't think we were 30. I think we were 15, half of 30.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
It was just one house that gave full-size candy bars.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, I don't know if I could forgive Homer for... I mean, the Planet of the Apes marathon is good, but
yeah,
the Tim Burton one, that's crossing a line.
I would even watch, like, the TV show before I watched the...
And the animated.
The Tim Burton one. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the new ones are great, but, man, that
yeah,
Tim Burton
I think
one,
all of those. Oof, bad.
All right, well, Bodhi asks Homer if Flanders ever annoys him. And then Homer does this long spit take, and then takes another sip of Duff, and does another long spit take. And then Calm responds, from time to time. As, like, the idea of maybe, like, when the joke was pitched, and Dan is just like, yeah, just read it normal. He's like, wouldn't Homer be back? Oh, no, we're going to do a spit take.
I like it. So meanwhile, the Lovejoys are stuck in traffic. Timothy honks his horn and demands the semi-truck in front of them move out of the way. The driver of the 18-wheeler hits the brakes and steps out of his cab, carrying a lead pipe and asking the Reverend which arm did the honking. At first, Timothy is defiant, saying that he won't tell, but his tone changes when he gets a little closer.
So Bodhi arrives at the Flanders' homestead, and Ned tells him to come in. And Bodhi walks through the door as a epic Western music plays. Rod prays for him while Todd sits on the staircase, fearful of the young youth pastor. Ned, standing in the shadows, lights a match with his thumb and uses it to light the cigar in his mouth. He announces that Bodhi has challenged him on scripture. The two men of God exchange glances, sizing one another up. Bodhi's up to the challenge, saying that he's ready to make a joyful noise to the Lord. They agree, and the pupils of Ned's eyes turn into crosses. Bodhi's eyes become crosses as well, and then the Star of David, and the Crescent, and Star of Islam, and the peace symbol. The Flanders family dog, Baz, I didn't know they had a family dog, Steve.
Neither did I. It's funny, it's like one thing that we've never ever covered, but Baz, or Maher Shalal Hash Baz, is the Flanders family dog who first made their appearance on Peeping Mom, the 18th episode of season 26, and the dog has appeared in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 episodes before this, and we've just never really covered her yet because we haven't gotten there, so yeah. It's funny, we've been doing this for so long that we think we have, like, a good grasp of the show after 257 episodes, but there's a whole dog character that we've never even talked about.
Well, we're awful. Anyways, so Baz watches the action, and her eyes turn into bones. And let's play the clip here of the battle of the scripture.
Punishment is the key to belief. Matthew 25:46, they will go away to eternal punishment, but the
righteous to eternal life? Sure, but God's grace is for everyone. John 12:32, I will draw all people
up to myself. Aha! What about 2 Thessalonians 1:9? They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction.
Romans 11:32, he may have mercy on them all. Them all.
Genesis 3:23, so the Lord banished him from the garden.
Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Bang!
Ah! I'm cold, so cold, and I'm wearing 3 sweaters.
Well, you and Flanders are alike. You both wear 3 sweaters.
Sure, but I'm inexplicably always hot.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. This is weird. It's weird debating scripture. Like, I don't know. Just religion's weird.
Yeah, yeah. I pretty much tuned out, Steve, because I'm like, oh, they're talking about Jesus. I'm going to go away. So I went away for a little bit and came back. Now I'm back.
All right. Well, it's Aloha Sunday at the First Church of Springfield. And inside, it's decorated with tiki statues, palm trees, and surfboards. Everyone was wearing their best Aloha shirt, and a beach ball is passing through the pews. Homer comments that this is what it'd be like if they believed in God in Hawaii. We've talked about it before, but my wife is from Hawaii. So she did go to a Buddhist preschool, but she also went to a high school that was like, I call it Hawaiian Hogwarts, just a very fancy Hawaiian school. But they did have to go to some sort of church functions every now and then. So some Hawaiians do believe in God. Not my wife, but some other people.
So if it was Hawaiian Hogwarts, were they TERFs?
Oh, God, no. All of the bathroom signs just have person in a hula grass skirt.
Okay.
That's probably worse offensive than not saying anything. Why did I do that? I don't know. dumb. Mrs. Munz shouts an invitation to Bodhi for dinner at her house, when he politely takes a rain check. So many checks, so little rain. Just then, Reverend Lovejoy, with both of his arms broken, kicks open the door and demands an end to the revelry. A confused Sideshow Mel asks who this is, but then Helen puts the collar around Timothy's neck, and Mel instantly recognizes him, which I thought was funny.
Well, Timothy states that he just got back from Michigan, and then uses Grandpa's hand to point at Bodhi accusingly. He calls Bodhi a heretic, and the congregation gasps in disbelief. Lisa steps up to defend Bodhi, but he admits to doing something bad. Lisa wonders just how bad it could be. The crowd seems to agree with her. Happy that he's finally getting some attention, Reverend Lovejoy reveals the truth after a quick announcement.
One brief announcement. There's a red Honda Civic in the parking lot with its lights
You're
on.
You're losing them.
He burned the Bible.
Oh, boy.
That's appalling. I mean, come on. Thumbs are not for burning. They're for tattoos. So, you know, you thicken me.
Everything in my heart tells me this isn't true.
I know this is a weird thing to say in church, but we need proof.
I demand a full hearing in front of all of us.
Oh, you'll get your hearing Tuesday at 4.
Another paradise lost.
Lisa, you're really bringing down the first Sunday of Lent. Even a fire eater is sad.
The crisis of faith grows as support for impeachment is now at 52%. Can you fight fire with firing? What should we do with this Judas Priest? This has been Kent Brockman talking, saying nothing.
At the beginning of that clip, Steve, Dedrick Tatum, talking about Psalms,
mm-hmm.
should be burned. They should be tattooed. So his, it's a Psalm 23:4, which, if I remember correctly, is, Ye though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So I'm wondering, is thy rod and thy staff, is he talking about his hog?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's about jerking off, that psalm.
I think most psalms are about jerking off, yeah.
Okay. Maybe we should get into this religion.
Yeah, I think anytime they talk about shepherds, they're talking about your hog. Anytime they talk about your ass, they're talking about asses. But yeah, most things are about masturbating. I think that's what the Bible is all about.
All right. And Steve, just for fun, I brought you a Bible and a book of matches. You can just burn it whenever you want.
Okay, I will do that right now. This is it's just a book, and as Bodhi wisely says, material possessions don't really matter because we're only here for a short time, and, you know, stuff is just stuff.
Right.
But at Springfield Town Hall, it's Burning Man, the trial of Bodhi Wright. A hippie with a flaming tuba walks up to the marquee, disappointed that it's not the week-long, large-scale desert event focused on community art, self-expression, and self-reliance. So he sadly walks away, playing his flaming tuba.
Isn't like Burning Man now more just about the commercialism, man?
Yes, it is. And it's also really expensive. It costs like $9,000 to go.
It was about the drugs and sex, but now it's about the money, drugs, and sex.
Right. I got to pay $42 for a bottle of water just so I can get a Sandy blowjob from some like hippie. No, thank you.
Yeah. Named Sandy.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'll suck your dick if you give me some weed.
Okay, we can isolate that clip that Steve just did.
Hey, man, I'll suck your dick if you give me some weed.
Thank you.
Hey, man, I'll suck your dick if you give me some weed. Lisa is acting as host, though Sideshow Mel isn't sure why. Raphael responds that she won't get overexcited, and Mel dramatically and sarcastically answers, and I will?
I think we need to bring up something real quick from last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Going through the edit, when I was talking about the end of the episode, my MVJ was Mel, and it sounded off. Probably to some listeners, because I had this whole rant about how Sideshow Mel has become like one of my favorite characters, and how he kind of just reminds me of Alan Tudyk's Clayface voice from Harley Quinn cartoon. We both had this like realization, like, oh, he's just parodying, Alan Tudyk is just probably just parodying Sideshow Mel in that character for his Clayface character. And the reason I'm bringing this up, like, why I didn't delete this or edit it out of the podcast is because someone pulled a big boner last week.
Yep.
I won't say who, but it wasn't me. And
right.
Forgot to record some audio.
Oops.
On their end. So we had to go back and record part of the episode. So if it sounded a little disjointed, maybe, that's one of our faults. Not me.
Yeah. But it wasn't Craig's fault, but like one of us one of the two people who worked on the show, really screwed up. Yeah. But your point about Alan Tudyk's Clayface is really spot on, it being a parody of Mel. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyways, now that confusion from the first episode has finally come through, as long as this part doesn't get deleted.
Right. I'll hit record.
Steve's looking at his record. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. We're only 2 hours in, so it's fine.
It'll be fine. We can reclaim that magic.
All right. Well, Lisa begins the trial by quoting Buddha. Three things cannot be hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth. Reverend Lovejoy sassily suggests that they turn that into a Google Doodle. Lisa asks that they look to the Bible, specifically the very, very many parts that speak of forgiveness. Maggie just wails on a horn while Marge and Homer unfurl four banners each with a Bible quote on it. We got John 1:9. If we confess our sinners, he is just to forgive us.
We have Hebrews 8:12. I will forgive their wickedness.
Timothy 1:15-16. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
And then we have Luke 23:34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And then we have Chicago 25:6-4.
Waiting for the break of day. Searching for something to say. Lisa thanks her mother for sewing the banners, and Marge wonders why they did all that work for a 10-second bit. It's really funny.
She's got the Band-Aids on her fingers.
Yeah. They're very nice banners, though, Marge. Well done. Lovejoy feels that Bodhi admitted to the offense, so what else do they need? And in the crowd, Mo adds that they've mobbed for less, and Lenny mentions the guy with the two different colored socks. And Carl adds that they ran his ass out of town. The mob speaks, and they chant, banish him, banish him. And Lisa shouts that they should cherish him, cherish him. While Grandpa talks about a certain performer while making a familiar joke.
I know another long-haired performer who preached a new philosophy, peace and love. And the crowd was with him, but then they turned hard. And that man's name was Willie Nelson.
Well, I say, banish him, banish him,
banish him. Banish him!
Stop!
I came here to unify you, but instead, I divided you. So, I'm leaving. I just hope what I said resonated with a few of you. Like Lisa, one who may change the world.
Aww.
And that sea captain guy, that dude is surprisingly woke.
Yar, activism means nothing if it's not intersectional. Yar!
Glad to have known you.
I just want to say, you've changed my life forever. You're the first minister I've ever met I didn't want to slap across the face.
Glad to have known you.
And I just want to say, rotten hell, Bible burner.
Glad to have known you.
In the beginning of that clip, Grandpa talks about knowing of another long-haired performer who preached a new philosophy, and it turns out to be Willie Nelson, and I think that joke belongs in joke jail.
The long-winded, like, you know who he's talking about, but then here's the punchline.
Yeah.
What if he just said, Jesus Christ, and, like, that was the actual punchline.
That would actually be funny. I think that'd be good. It's just like, I feel like The Simpsons alone, I've done it like two or three separate times aside from this one. So,
right.
I get why it's a funny, but yeah.
Humor's like, expect the unexpected.
Right.
When you're crafting a joke, you know, write down the obvious thing, but then look back and say, well, what would be shocking?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying like, dirty, shocking, like offensive type of thing, but just like what would be an interesting way to juice it up.
In the improv world, they call that A to C thinking, because A to B thinking is the most obvious. So you go from A to B and then to C to the next step. So that would be like a way to improve the joke, to juice it up, as you say.
So Abe should have, like, instead of saying Willie Nelson, should have pulled his pants down and exposed his genitals.
Yep.
That's how you did improv.
Yeah, exactly. And Grandpa historically has long pubes, so it is a long-haired performer.
Jesus. All right, well, Bodhi then goes on to say goodbye to the Simpsons, but Marge stops him, saying, you don't say goodbye to someone you care about without a meatloaf. And as Lisa adds, broccoli. Bodhi is shocked by the invitation, but Lisa explains that if you can love them after seeing them eat, they'll know that they are truly loved. And Homer says that they're having roast Bible, but the joke falls flat. Homer, you need to go to improv school.
That's right.
Although, roast Bible was funny. I laughed at that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good zing.
Yeah.
So at the dinner table of 742 Evergreen Terrace, the long-pubed Abe snores at as the rest of the family sit down for a meal with the disgraced youth pastor. Bodhi makes a prayer that may just come true, while one family member, shows up for some fun.
I just want to offer this simple prayer. Dear God, please let The Simpsons never end.
Amen!
And Bodhi, tomorrow I have to ask you a philosophical question. So I'll see you at the church.
Amen.
Where the hell have you been?
Why would you burn a Bible? Why couldn't you burn Bill O'Reilly's books? There are so many.
I was trying to tell people that God is in your heart, not in a overbuilt cathedral or some book.
This town doesn't get subtext. Our NPR station broadcasts wrestling.
And that's an excruciating half Nelson. Now, is that what's known in the lexicon as a face stomp?
Yes. Yes, it is.
This is NPR Pledge Week. Please give.
Why did you do it?
I was 19. I saw how people were using the Bible to divide and exclude. People were so busy worshiping a roadmap instead of trying to reach the destination. You know what I mean?
All right, Steve, I take it back. I was implying that you were going to burn that Bible. Please don't burn the Bible. I have a whole box of Bill O'Reilly books that you are more than welcome to burn.
That's, I'd much rather do that, actually. So, in the beginning of that clip, yes.
In the beginning of that clip.
There was man, and that man bestowed upon us Bart. So Bart shows up, and like Homer's like, hey, thanks for joining us. And it is weird how absent Bart is from this episode. And that's not uncommon in these later things to kind of like lose a character. But I kind of wondered if it was for a more specific reason, if it involved like Nancy and her faith.
You know, we've made jokes occasionally on this podcast about Scientology, but who knows? I mean, maybe there wasn't room for Bart. And he was kind of in the first episode, you know, and then just making this joke of like, where the hell have you been? It's kind of funny. And I like to have my silly theories, like maybe there was a Bart adventure that was a whole nother episode that was going on while this was going on. Like him and Milhouse, I don't know, up to some shenanigans. But yeah, maybe Nancy did have some issues with the religion episode.
Maybe.
We will never know. Because she will never do this podcast. As many of the interviews that we've done on this podcast, I know that's one that she would never do. She would never do our podcast.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we could get Yeardley. We could get Dan for sure. We can get Julie, but just can't get...
Matt, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, Conan O'Brien, definitely. And we've actually had all these people on the podcast, and we've interviewed them. Unfortunately, Steve was the one who had to hit record and forgot all those times.
I know that. The four-hour interview we did with John Strosholzer was so good.
Oh, man.
And
well, it was weird, too, because like, we pitched a TV show to him. He's like, this is great. Let's do it now. We like wrote all 22 episodes of the first season like on air, and then we had like voice casts come in and read the show. Yeah. I remember Bob Iger himself was like, yeah, we're going to put this on Disney Plus. This is going to be a hit. But then Steve forgot to hit record, so there
Oopsie.
We are. Steve pulled another boner. All right. Well, Steve, there's some books in the church offices. Some are real and some are fake. We're going to play a little game here, Steve, and you're going to say if they're real or fake. All right. The first one, we have Accidental Saints by Nadia Boltz Weber. Is that real or fake?
I'm going to say that's real.
Survey says, ding, 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 ding. You're correct.
Good answer.
Next up, we got The Universal Christ by Richard Rohr.
Well, I've listened to any episode of Pete Holmes's podcast, so I know that one's real.
Survey says, ding, 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 ding. Good answer.
Woo.
All right. And the last one is The Five Jerks You Meet in Heaven. Unreal or fake, Steve?
Well, I don't know if heaven's real, but I know that jerks are real. I know that when I die, I'm going to meet five of them. So I'm going to say that's also real.
Survey says, no. What was the last answer? In the back of a Volkswagen. Oh, Steve, that's where you make whoopee. Wrong game show. Steve, we should just write the book, Five Jerks You Meet in Heaven.
Let's see. Who's it going to be? Jimi Hendrix?
Roger Ebert.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abe Vigoda.
Julia Childs.
And Johnny Carson. Well, Lisa thinks for a moment and asks Bodhi why he didn't explain himself. He again states that he was 19. Lisa's aid and she gets it. And Bodhi regrets burning the Bible since he did it. And he's since wandered the world like a millennial eating ass on a gap year. Lisa understands Bodhi's predicament, but wonders how he'll convince the folks of Springfield. She then opens the shades to show some disbelievers of Bodhi. Kirk Van Houten spinning an arrow that says, "New condos in hell." Mel holding a sign that reads, "I believed in yous." And an elephant with a sign saying, "Even elephants are mad, and we never forget." Steve, elephants are the only land mammals that can't jump. Did you know that?
Oh, wow. What about white men?
Yeah, that's true. I don't think we could jump. Anyways, Bodhi plans to have faith in the town's open heart. Just then, a brick flies through the window and hits him in the head. He then tries to find meaning in the brick.
I was just making sure it doesn't say, "We forgive you."
It doesn't.
Unless they wrote it in red.
Yeah, no.
No, they didn't.
No.
The brick is the message.
Them's my people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we throw it back? What's your custom?
Short but sweet, Steve.
Yeah, I just really like that dialogue. Yeardley saying, "Them's my people." It's a very conversational little thing, and I thought it was fun.
Almost like they were in the same recording at the same time, just making sure it's just yeah, and there's my people. Like realizing like she's a Springfieldian and there's something she can do about it.
Right, exactly. As Bodhi drives out of town, he passes Chief Wiggum and Lou, who are on parking duty. Lou informs Clancy that the car that he's writing a ticket for still has 10 minutes left on the meter. But Chief Wiggum is distracted, weeping that he believed in people again, and they took Bodhi away. When he tells Blue that he lost his faith, Lou tries to cheer him up, saying that he has a beautiful wife and a kid. But Lou can't stop finishing the sweet sentiment without laughing. And so Clancy asks him to try, and he tries, but he just can't stop laughing at Clancy's poor, poor life. And that's our episode.
Oh, Lou. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. And you know what else is fun? Taking a break. Let's think about what we've just watched, and we'll pray on it a little bit. And we'll come back and finish up our conversation of Warren Priests.
Okay.
We'll be right back. And we're back, Craig. Let's finish up our discussion of Warren Priests Part 2. And of Part 1, we'll talk about the things that made us laugh, most valuable jokester, and what we thought about the episode and the two parts that include in that, and what we're watching next week. But before we do that, the spirit of faith is all about giving. And so I thought we should exchange some gifts. So for you, Craig, I got you a new Aloha shirt to wear for your Aloha Sunday so you can look your best while you're praising the Lord in a Hawaiian style.
Oh, boy. Steve, this Hawaiian shirt is double XL. Is this the smallest they have?
Yep. I assume that you're a fat party animal.
Oh, see, I was trying to make you say that Hawaiian shirts are only for bigger people.
Oh, no. Anybody can wear them, but mostly fat guys.
Hey, they're very comfortable, I must say.
It's true.
I think lately I've been giving you kind of some silly, gaggy gifts that aren't that nice. They're more a little evil-spirited. But since we have converted to our ways of loving thy neighbor and coveting thy wife, is that what we're supposed to do?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. I decided to get you some new glassware, Steve. That's right, I got you 4 nudie girl glasses. They look fine right now, like they're clothed wearing a bathing suit, but then when you pour liquid into them, those bathing suits disappear.
Her clothes are coming off.
just the bra top, Steve, not the underwear part. That's 2 X-rated.
Right.
Right.
Speaking of 2, 1, 2. The answer is 2. 2 boobs.
Oh, there you go. Enjoy those beverage cups. Those actually exist. Oh, right. I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do, yeah. I see ads on TikTok for coffee mugs that become like lit up lightsabers when you pour coffee into them. So I'm sure they can make booby cups.
I had, when I was a kid, I had a Star Trek mug that when you poured the liquid into it, a Klingon bird of prey decloaks. I thought that was a lot of fun.
That's very cool.
Because the ships could cloak.
Right, of course. I got that.
There's probably like a Harry Potter one too, where he's wearing the invisibility cloak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But I want the nudie ones.
Yeah. I want a Sue Storm mug.
It's a pretty good one. Like, It's just the Fantastic Four, by the way, when you pour the liquid into it, she just disappears.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good.
So, Craig, what made you laugh from this episode?
I liked the beginning when Bodhi tells Flanders that even a parrot can recite scripture. And then you see Flanders be like, what? And then, like, flapping his arms up and down. It was very funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just, like, the ending with the Springfield, it's just like, man, we better get this guy out of town because we're mob mentality rules. I guess I go with the Flanders part, might be favorite. And then, of course, the joke that we brought up about how we're ordering two beers and asking if Bodhi wants anything at the bar. Then we'll say Mr. Burns, too, with his scripture was great. And I like when they go to, and Timothy and Helen go to the evangelical mega church and seeing that shyster there. And Lisa pointing out the racist and sexist and incest parts of the Bible. That was fun stuff to me. How about you, Steve?
I was scanning through the episode, and I made a mistake. So I don't know how I missed this. When Lisa's doing her little Bob Fosse song from Cabaret, and she pulls out the toast, it's not, I'm an idiot. It's not of Jesus. Moe's face is on the toast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was good. I liked Sideshow Mill in this episode. I did like Lisa's song with Buddha and Jesus and Einstein. And I liked Holy Cow. I thought that was fun, too. And this is a depiction of a megachurch. But, like, let's talk about the two episodes as a whole. And what are your thoughts on it in general?
Well, I thought the first part one, was intriguing enough for a follow-up of this one. Honestly, I felt like part two just kind of dragged for me. I don't know if there was any moments where I was like, this is hilarious, or I'm having a good time. I just feel like this whole episode is just like trying to get Ned to think differently, even though they're on the same path. You know, you're arguing with someone who's sharing the same arguments with you. It's not productive. And I think that this episode just keeps hammering in that concept. And while there's some funny scenes, we asked the question last week of, does this need to be a two-parter? And I can answer now that this doesn't need to be a two-parter. We could have just done this message, you know, a story, you know, or the story starts with the new priest, Lovejoy goes out of town to find evidence, comes back about the Bible burning. You didn't even need the Ned stuff. Just throw in that Ned also accepts this guy. And the whole story could have just been about Reverend Lovejoy getting pissed that this happened. And then it ends that way. You know, there's a lot I think you could probably cut out. And I asked, like, could you make this episode into a one episode? And I think that was my answer. Like, I think there is a way to make this 22 minutes, tighten it up. Because even could have got rid of Grandpa's whole, like, I think that's, you know, when Grandpa says about the Willie Nelson, I feel like when they're watching, it's like, oh, we need another joke in here. There's not that many jokes. And I just throw one of our old standby jokes. But yeah, I had a harder time watching this episode. And I had to watch it multiple times. And each time I was just like, I'm never going to watch this again. So that's my verdict. I don't think I'm really going to revisit these episodes. If I had to give this a ranking, they talk about Homer seeing a Planet of the Apes marathon and even the Tim Burton one. And we discussed that Tim Burton one is the worst of the franchise. Even I won't watch that movie again. So if I give this a ranking out of the movies, I'm not going to be as cruel and say this is the Planet of the Apes remake, but I'd say this is more like Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Steve, how about you?
Yeah. The two questions that I had going into this two-parter are, one, like you mentioned, does this need to be two parts? And two, how does it compare to the other two-part episodes, that being The Great Gatsby and Who Shot Mr. Burns? And you're right. I don't know that this needed to be this long. Like, we could have cut out the Grandpa stuff, like you mentioned. We could have scaled back the Ned stuff a lot. I guess you keep the Lovejoy stuff in there, but yeah, you could cut a lot of fat in this. And just also Pete Holmes's views on religion. You could have edited those way down and made this, you know, a shorter episode. I was kind of into the first episode, and I was like kind of curious as to where they're going. But you're right, this one, it took a long time and not a lot happened for me. Like, the big climax of Ned and Bodhi at Ned's house doing the sermon off, I didn't really care. Even the reveal of his wrongdoing, which I know is supposed to be shocking because you're not supposed to burn Bibles, but I just does like, okay, sure. That would be a thing that religious people would be upset by, but I didn't have any stake in the game, so it did not need to be a two-parter. And then for the second question, how does it compare to the other two-part episodes of The Simpsons? Now, obviously, this is nothing compared to Who Shot Mr. Burns, because that's kind of a perfect two-part episode. It was suspenseful, it was exciting, it was funny. Now, I don't remember The Great Fastby that well. I feel like I liked this episode a bit more, but that's not saying a whole lot because we kind of really hated The Great Fastby, and I felt that that was, like, overpacked with plot, and it was kind of confusing, whereas this is more straightforward, but also just not very interesting. I'm going to say that this is probably a skip. I don't know that I'm ever going to revisit either of these. I think that Pete Holmes is a fine comedian, but I think that he's kind of got a big head, and I think that this kind of shows off where he can kind of be a bit much. So if I had to give this a score, we mentioned before that Pete Holmes was in a short-lived sitcom called How We Roll, where he becomes a professional bowler, and that show aired for a whopping 11 episodes. And so out of 11, I'm going to give this a 3. So it's like a 7-10 split with one extra. So this is a skip for me, I guess, is a long way of saying that.
No, but you're saying like the best of the two-parters. Yeah, there's no comparison to Who Shot Mr. Burns. And Great Fastby, I remember not enjoying, and this one as well. But A Series of Flanders from season 33, we did enjoy that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, which, you know, featured Flanders again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, yeah, it's a skip. But I don't think there's any more two-parters we ever have to review again.
Not until they release another one.
Written by...
Matt Reif.
There you go. There's the joke. Who's Matt Reif, Steve?
He is a comedian who recently got in some trouble because he made some very sexist jokes that weren't very funny. But then people attacked him on the internet, and then he did not respond well. I think he called a 13-year-old boy a cocksucker or something to that effect. So... yeah, just a real winner of a guy.
All right, well, there's your lesson. But isn't that like every, I'm assuming he's a comedian in his 30s, 40s, and he's white, man?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. That's like every comic.
Yeah.
Their attitude and, yeah, okay. sorry, Pete, you've been annoyed Grunt-boyed.
Ooh, take that.
I forgot. Our real ranking, Steve. Let's give this a Nelson rating real quick.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to give this a...
Huh? I'll agree with you on that one. All right.
All right. So we don't have a new episode next week. However, we do have a new episode from a couple weeks ago that we have yet to review. That is the 10th episode of season 35. Craig, what do you think the title of that is?
I have a feeling it's going to be like a parody of a movie title. They like to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, what movie... come out recently, but for Simpsons, you know, they're always like a few years behind. That's the joke we like to make. So I think it's gonna be a parody of a Spike Lee film. I think it's gonna be called Yellow Klansman. And
close.
That's the story.
No, it's Do the Wrong Thing. Homer and Bart become kings of the blue collar sports circuit, but Marge suspects something dishonest at the core of their father son bond.
And this episode aired on Christmas Eve of 2023, so sounds very Christmassy to me.
That's right. And we got Ken Marino and Dan Patrick as guest stars.
It's funny that you have Ken Marino, and this is like, what, about sports, about football maybe?
Yeah.
You have Ken Marino, but not Dan Marino.
No, not. Why would you have him?
All right. Well, Steve, I'm excited to watch... the new episode. Back on track, Steve, as they would say, right? That's what the fans want.
Mm-hmm. What they're clamoring for.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry we've been away for 2 weeks, but we'll be back and crappy as ever.
That's right. We make no promises other than to be our wonderful selves. And thank you so much for listening. If you want to reach out to us, you can go to our socials like Instagram or Threads or YouTube at 138Simpsons.
Or you can email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com.
And hey, if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcatching app, leave us 5 stars or the equivalent. But you don't need to write a real review. Just tell us whatever preachy bullshit you believe in.
Oh, we also forgot to mention another easy way to contact us would be a voicemail. And you could do that by going through the show's notes. Scroll down through the bottom, and there's a little microphone there that says leave a voicemail. And you can do that. Simple as eating pie.
Yum, yum, pie. And you can also buy yourself some merch. Go to tpublic.com/user/annoyedgruntboy and grab your great 138 gear. You know, we got some t-shirts, we got some koozies, we got some stickers. Lots of good stuff. Check it out.
And don't forget to tell your friends, your enemies, your lovers, and of course, more importantly, your congregation to listen to this podcast. We need more listeners like you.
Yes, praise us. For this week, I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Steve.
And I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Craig.
And remember, activism means nothing if it's not intersectional.
Malpractice makes malperfect.
Burn Bill O'Reilly's books! There are so many!